It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
It is a good life knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's a good life in the Lord. It's the best life there ever is and ever will be. It's knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and being able to serve Him while we're on this earth. Well, last time we spoke from the book of Ephesians, and that's our study, Ephesians chapter 5, and we talked about being imitators of the Lord. In other words, someone who is becoming more and more like the Lord each day. They're following the Lord. They're doing what God wants them to do, and they become more and more like the Lord each day. They're transformed. It doth not yet appear, the Bible says, what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Some people say, what will my glorified body look like? Well, I simply look at myself in the mirror and I say, well, I hope it doesn't resemble anything like I'm looking right now. But I don't know what it's going to be like. I know it's going to be perfect. I know that God is He's perfect, and He's going to give us a perfect body when we go to be with Him. And just before we look into the book of Ephesians chapter 5 once again, let me encourage you today. You may be going through a difficult time. You may have it rough right now. I don't know. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's a family member that's having a problem. Maybe it's financial. I don't know what it could be, but you personally may be going through a difficult time. But the Lord tells us in John chapter 14 and verse 1, He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Well, we believe in God, and we do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, because He is the one who came to seek and to save us. He came into this world and gave His life for us. He lived a sinless, perfect life. And the Bible tells us that He went to the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood for us, for the people of this world, for those of us, and we've accepted that, those of us who are saved, we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. But there are so many people now that do not know Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we who do know Him, we need to be telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, are you going through a difficult time? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus Christ is the answer. Verse 2 goes on to say in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that something, that Jesus Christ is preparing a place for you? And one of these days, you don't have to worry about a mortgage payment. You don't have to worry about a utility payment. You don't have to worry about anything, because the Lord Jesus Christ is right now, He's taking care of us here on this earth. But one day you don't have to worry about anything, because Jesus Christ is going to take care of everything. We're going to be with Him. Verse 3 of John 14 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Sometimes we ask, well, how long, Lord? When will you come for me? Well, once again, we don't know the exact day, time, hour, or minute that the breath of life is going to leave our bodies. Or we don't even know when Jesus Christ is going to come back into clouds and say, come up hither for the saved people that's living during this time. We don't know a lot of these answers and a lot of things that we think we need to know. But what we really need to know is that Jesus is in control. He's taking care of everything that we need. He's taking care of us now, and He's going to take care of us in the future. And that's one thing that we need to keep in mind, that Jesus Christ is coming for us. And one of these days, we're going to be with Him, we're going to be with God, and we're not going to have to concern ourselves anymore about anything happening to us in this life. But right now, you're going through a difficult time. Let not your heart be troubled. Let's pray. Father, I pray now for that person, Lord, that's listening, who's in need today. I pray that individual, Lord, would trust you more and more each day of their life. Lord, help them to be strong. Give them what they have need of. supply the need, Lord. And Father, I pray for that person who is not saved. Their greatest need is Jesus Christ. They need Jesus today. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would touch the heart of that individual right now who needs Jesus. May that person call upon Jesus right now and ask him to save them. Ask him, Lord, to come into their heart, because they can't save themselves. They admit that. And Lord, they want to be saved right now. And I pray that they would pray that prayer. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. If they'll pray a prayer like that or something like that, Lord, the prayer's not going to save them. I know that. But you will. But you want to hear them say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Now, Father, I commit this time to you, and I pray, Lord, that you would just lead us and guide us now as we study your book, your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in Ephesians chapter 5, and we've been going through the book of Ephesians. We've gone up to this point through chapter 4, and now we're in chapter 5, and we've looked at verse 1. And let me remind you once again that verse 1 says this, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. As the children of God, we're to be following him. We're to look up to the Lord. As we looked up to our earthly fathers, we need to look up to our heavenly fathers as dear children, the Bible says there. Now, an earthly child looks up to an earthly father and says, I want to be like my father. Well, that's the way a child of God is to be. And we look up to our Heavenly Father and we say, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to be an imitator. I want people to look at me and I want them to see you through me. Now, let me quickly add, we do not become little gods. We become a representation of our Heavenly Father once we're living for him, once we've gotten saved, of course. And we're living for him and we're doing what he wants us to do as his children. And then as we do that, then people are going to take notice. They're going to see something different in our life as they look at us. And possibly that person will see something that sparks and lets them understand that they need Jesus as Savior. And prayerfully, they'll accept him as Lord and Savior. Let me remind you that God does not force anyone to go to heaven. Now, it's something that people choose hell over heaven. And when we think of this, what do you have to do to go to hell? You do nothing. You just keep on going the way you are without Jesus Christ. You do nothing and you go to hell. Well, what do you do to go to heaven? You receive a free gift. And that free gift is heaven. That free gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And once we realize that, even as a saved person, it suddenly dawns on us that we have everything that we need, that we're on our way to heaven. No one can take that from us. And once we realize that, we need to be looking to the Lord and be more like him every day of our life. We need to be imitators of the Lord, doing what he wants us to do in this life. Well, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 once again says, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Well, then we look at verse 2, Ephesians chapter 5. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Well, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 once again says, Be ye followers of God as dear children. Verse 2 says, And. Notice the word and. In the first word there, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, and verse 1 says, as dear children, followers of God. Verse 2 says, walk in love. As dear children of God, walk in love. See, walking in love would be a good indication that a person is a child of God. It doesn't save them, but it's an indication that they are a child of God. Walking in love does not save the person, but it is a good indication that a person is saved. I can't say that enough. It's hard to love someone who is unlovable, but this is well-pleasing in the sight of God when we love without discrimination. In other words, as dear children of God, we are to walk in love. We're to let people know that we love them, that we love people. and that we want to see more and more people go to heaven. And when thinking, when we look at this, when thinking of the love, this love we as Christians are supposed to have for others, I recall Ephesians 4:1. Remember how that the Bible dovetails together in each chapter of the Ephesians? We see a lot of connection here. I recall Ephesians 4:1 where it says, "I therefore," Paul the Apostle speaking again, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Paul says, "I'm begging you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Well, how in the world can we love everybody? Well, it happens because we have a holy calling. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling?" This is Jesus who has saved us. He's called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. When did Christ decide to come to the earth and die for you and I? The Bible tells us it was before the foundation of the world. God didn't have to go through heaven searching for someone to come to save mankind. Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, knew He was coming to this earth. He volunteered to come to the earth to die for sinful man, for sinful men, women, boys, and girls. Jesus Christ, the Savior. 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But as He which hath called us is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." You see that word conversation in 1 Peter 1:15? This means behavior or actions. To love others is not something that is impossible for the Christian. To love others should be normal behavior for a Christian. And in fact, God does not ask us to love. He commands it. John 13:34, He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Christ loved us, and we're to love other people. John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." We might get the attitude, "Well, I'm going to love if I feel like it. You know, I just don't think I'm going to love anyone." Well, that's not the way it works. Jesus said for saved people that saved people have a commandment that you love one another as Jesus loved us. 2 John 1:5 says, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another." It's always been there. 2 John 1:6, "And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." What commandment? The commandment of love, of loving each other, of not only loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, but loving everybody in this world. We don't hold grudges against anyone. We love them. We don't do anything to harm anyone. We love them. We want people to know that we love them because Jesus Christ first loved us. And of course, He first loved that individual we're dealing with who needs salvation. He first loved them. And He laid down His life for everybody in this world, that each person could be saved, and so that each person could love each other, so that we would walk after His commandments, and we would do what He wants us to do. Love the Lord today, and love each other.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.